Okay, so get ready, because today we are really diving deep
Yeah.
into the world of 5G.
Absolutely.
Like when I say deep dive, I mean
Yeah.
we're talking the nuts and bolts
Yeah,
of
yeah.
how your phone actually talks to the network.
Right.
We're not talking speed tests and hype. You gave us this stack of documents straight from the 3GPP,
Yeah.
the folks who basically write the rule book
Yeah, they're the rule
for
makers.
all things
It's
mobile.
absolutely. This is like getting a backstage pass. Like we're going behind the curtain to see how it all actually works, to see how you can stream videos, download apps, all that kind of stuff.
Well, and just scrolling through this, right?
Yeah.
The first thing I saw that jumped out at me was
Okay.
network slice specific authentication.
Yeah.
And I gotta say,
It's a mouthful, right?
yeah, it's a mouthful.
It sounds a lot more complicated than just typing in your wifey password.
Way more complicated.
Right. It is a bit more involved, but
Okay.
think of it this way. Imagine network slices as like
Yeah.
dedicated lanes on a highway,
Okay.
and each lane is optimized for a specific type of traffic.
Okay.
So you've got a lane for video streaming, you've got one for gaming, you can even have lanes for like industrial applications, because it's
Really?
how they keep things running smoothly. And this network slice-specific authentication
Yeah.
ensures that only authorized devices can enter those lanes.
So it's like having a VIP pass
Yeah,
for different parts of the network.
that's a great way to think about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes a ton of sense.
Good.
But what happens
Yeah.
if my phone can't get authorized
Right.
for some of its slices?
Okay.
Does everything come to a grinding halt?
Not necessarily. They actually built in a fallback.
Okay.
So let's say slice-specific authentication fails for some reason, but you still have your regular network slices,
Okay.
the ones you're subscribed to by default.
Right.
Your device can still connect using those, like a
Oh,
backup ID.
gotcha.
And
So I
wait,
might not
you
get
might not get the premium
probably the
experience.
premium lane,
Right.
but at least I'm not completely
But you're not totally in the dark.
disconnected. Okay.
Exactly.
But
Is there a but?
there's always a but, right?
Right.
The standards say the network
Oh,
should
yeah.
release all of those PDU
Hold
sessions.
on.
Yeah.
Another session. Yeah, I was about to get to that.
Okay.
A PDU session. Think of it as like a dedicated pipeline
Well,
for your data.
right.
Every time you browse the web or
Right.
you download an app or stream a video, it usually has its own PDU session.
Wow.
It's how your phone actually gets things done
Okay.
on the network.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
Even if I have that backup access,
Right.
if authentication fails, for a specific slice, whatever I'm doing on that slice could get interrupted.
That's exactly right. It's like the network hits the pause button on
Right.
those specific activities.
That's wild.
It's a lot going on
Yeah.
behind the scenes.
It really is.
Yeah.
And speaking of things going on behind the scenes,
Okay.
there's this whole section on handling errors.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I was a little lost.
Okay.
Non-imperative message part errors.
Right.
Conditional IE errors.
Yeah, it sounds pretty intense.
Yeah.
Basically, it's all about making sure your device
Okay.
and the network can handle unexpected issues
Yeah.
without completely falling apart.
Okay.
So, for example, one of the things they talk about is something called syntactically incorrect optional IEs.
Okay.
Now, those are basically pieces of information
Yeah.
that are not formatted correctly.
So like a typo in the code.
Yeah, you could think of it that way.
Okay.
And both the network and your device are
Yeah.
designed to basically ignore those incorrect bits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
They just keep calm and carry on.
Okay, so it can work around that.
Exactly.
Okay, that's actually pretty clever.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
But what about
Well,
conditional IE errors?
all right, so those are a little different.
Okay. Those pop up when a piece of information is either missing when it should be there,
Yeah.
or it shows up unexpectedly.
Okay.
Think of it like filling out a form online,
Yeah.
and you either miss a required field
Right.
or you accidentally fill in something extra.
Right. That's not supposed to be there,
Exactly.
which I've definitely
And
done.
it usually doesn't end well.
No, it does not.
No.
Usually get a very angry red message.
Right. But in this case,
Right.
the network has a system.
All right.
So whether the information is missing or there by mistake, the response is a status message
Okay.
with cause, hashtag 100.
What's a cause? Hashtag 100.
Basically, it means conditional IE error. It's basically the network hitting the brakes saying, hold on,
Yeah.
something's not right here.
So these error handling mechanisms,
Yeah.
they're like the safety net
That's a great way to put it.
of the network,
Yeah.
making sure
Yeah.
that one little typo doesn't bring the whole thing crashing down. Exactly. These standards are designed to keep things running smoothly.
Yeah.
Even when things get a little messy.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I do. All right. Let's get back to those PDU sessions for a second. Okay. We talked about authentication failures.
Right.
Causing them to be released.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other reasons why that might happen?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Imagine that highway lane we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Being shut down for construction.
Okay.
That's kind of what happens when a network slice becomes unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, the network.
Yeah.
Specifically the AMF.
AMF.
Yeah, the Access and Mobility Management function.
Okay, should we back up for a second?
Right.
AMF. Yeah. SMF.
The SMF session management function.
Are these like the conductors of this network orchestra?
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good way to think about it.
Okay.
So the AMF, it's like the gatekeeper.
Okay.
It manages your device's access to the network,
mm-hmm.
including that initial authentication process we were talking about.
Right.
The SMF.
Rip.
Session management function. It's in charge of those PDU sessions,
okay.
creating them,
mm-hmm.
modifying them,
yeah.
and yes, releasing them when needed.
Okay.
So it's like the whole life cycle.
So in that network slice traffic jam,
right.
the AMF is the one who's like, Oh, this lane is closed.
Right.
Got to talk to the
SMF. The AMF says.
And, hey, we need to shut down this data pipeline.
Yeah.
And reroute.
Reroute.
Find a different lane.
That's
a great analogy.
I'm trying.
And sometimes you also get those session releases.
Okay.
Because of what are called duplicate session IDs.
Duplicate session IDs.
Yeah, basically two sessions.
Oh, okay.
Accidentally get assigned the same ID.
Oh.
Which can cause a lot of confusion.
Total chaos.
Right.
It's
yeah.
like two houses yeah, with the same address.
It's a problem.
The SMF has a trick up its sleeve.
Okay, Jeff.
It can actually release one of those duplicate sessions
no.
without even involving your device.
Yeah.
Problem solved behind the scenes.
See, I like that.
Right.
I like when it just quietly fixes itself.
I agree.
I don't want to be involved.
It's much better that way.
Yeah. But all this talk about requests, releases, responses.
Yeah.
How do these different network functions
right.
actually communicate with each other?
That's a great question.
Is it like some secret language
right.
that only supercomputers can understand?
Not quite. Right. They actually use HTTP status codes?
HTTP status codes.
Yeah, the same kind
of voice.
Wait, like.
Yeah. You see when you're browsing the web?
I'm with you.
You know those 404 not found messages?
Oh, yeah. Those yeah. are showing up in the network, too.
You got it.
Wow.
So, for example,
yeah.
a 200 okay
yeah.
means a request was successful.
Okay.
Then you've got 204 no content.
Okay.
Which means the action worked,
mm-hmm.
but there's no additional info to send back.
Okay.
307 temporary redirect.
Okay.
Means the request needs to be rerouted
mm-hmm.
to a different location.
Okay.
And then, of course, the infamous 404 not found.
Which we all know
right.
and we do not like.
Means whatever was requested
yeah.
is missing in action.
Yeah, it's gone.
And when those errors do pop up,
yeah.
there's this thing called a problem details data type.
Problem detail.
It basically swoops in to provide more context about what went wrong.
Oh.
It's like a detailed error report.
Okay.
But for the network itself.
Interesting. So it's really amazing how much we rely on all this.
I know, right?
To work flawlessly.
It's incredible.
But it seems like there are a lot of pitfalls along the way.
Yeah, there are a few.
And they seem to have it covered.
Right, they thought of everything.
This wouldn't be a true deep dive
yeah.
if we didn't find some
okay.
cool optimizations that they built in.
Yeah. What did you find?
I saw something
okay.
about Ethernet header compression
okay.
for something called CIOT. You know what that is?
CIOT?
Yeah.
What is that?
That's Cellular Internet of Things.
Cellular Internet of Things.
So we're talking smart devices,
okay,
sensors, industrial equipment, all connected through those cellular networks.
And Ethernet header compression.
Yeah, that's all about...
What is that?
Reducing the overhead in the data packets.
Okay.
Which is really important for CIOT devices.
Why is that?
Because they often send very small bits of data.
Oh. Okay.
So it's all about making things faster and more efficient.
So it's like streamlining the packaging.
Yeah.
To make deliveries faster.
That's a great way to think about it.
Especially for all
especially for those chatty little devices.
Tiny but mighty devices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this optimization in particular
yeah.
is focused on what's called the control plane,
okay.
which is the communication
oh, okay.
between those CIOT devices
mm-hmm.
and the core network.
So it's making sure that back and forth.
Yeah. It's all about making sure everything runs as smoothly as possible.
As smooth as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got these dedicated lanes for data.
Right. We've got safety nets for errors, streamlined deliveries. It's like the network's got it all figured out.
Yeah, they've really tried to think of everything.
They really have. But while we're talking about optimization, there was this allowed PDU session status information element.
Okay.
That caught my eye.
Right.
And it sounds like it's got something to do with access control, but in a way that I don't quite understand.
Yeah, you're right on the money with the access control part.
Okay.
This element is all about managing which PDU sessions are allowed to reconnect.
Okay.
If your connection to the network drops out for a bit.
Okay, so even if my connection briefly drops,
right.
This element
helps get those data pipelines back up and running.
Okay, that's pretty handy.
Yeah, it's a nice little feature.
How does it actually work?
Okay, so picture this.
Okay.
Picture this element, like a panel of switches.
Okay.
Each labeled PSI1 to PSI15.
Okay.
Each switch represents a specific PDU session.
Okay.
And if a switch is flipped to one,
that session gets the green light to reestablish itself on the network.
So it's like giving certain sessions VIP access.
Oh, exactly.
To reconnect.
You got it.
Okay. But what happens if those switches are flipped to 0-0?
That's where things get a little interesting.
Okay.
If the switches, specifically PSI1 to PSI15, are all set to 0,
yeah,
it means that none of those PDU sessions are allowed back on the 3GPP network.
Oh, wow.
They're essentially blocked from reconnecting.
So they're blacklisted.
In a way, you could think of it that way.
Wow. That's kind of a power move.
Right.
By the network.
Yeah, the network's got the control.
But why would it ever want to prevent those sessions from reconnecting?
Well, there could be a few reasons.
Okay.
It could be that the network is experiencing some serious congestion.
Okay.
Like rush hour traffic.
Right.
And it needs to prioritize certain types of traffic.
Okay.
Or maybe there's an issue with a specific network slice.
Mm-hmm.
So reconnecting to that slice would be pointless.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In some cases, it could even be a security measure.
Okay.
To prevent any unauthorized reconnections.
So it's like the network is playing traffic cop.
Yeah. That's a great way to think about it.
And making sure everything is flowing smoothly and securely.
Exactly.
Even if it means putting some sessions on hold.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
For the greater good.
I guess so. It's all starting to make sense now.
Good.
But, you know, all this talk about reestablishing connections makes me wonder what happens when things go really wrong and I get completely disconnected.
Okay.
I saw something about 5GMM causes.
Right.
That are sent to the device in those situations.
Yeah, those 5GMM causes are like clues that the network sends to your device explaining why the connection went kaput.
Okay.
They're really helpful
for
troubleshooting.
Yeah.
And figuring out what went wrong.
Okay, so like what?
So for example, there's cause, #6, illegal me.
Illegal me.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Basically, it means the network finds your device unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Yeah.
My phone's a criminal.
That's harsh.
Yeah. What could possibly make my phone so unacceptable?
Well, the standards don't really get into the nitty-gritty details of what makes a device illegal.
Yeah.
But it could be a situation where your device has been blacklisted because of security concerns, or maybe your device's software is so outdated that it's just not compatible with the network's current setup.
So it's like my phone showing up to a party.
Exactly.
In ripped jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah, you're not following the dress code.
Not the right dress code.
Yeah.
But what are the implications if your device gets slapped with that label?
Well, in that scenario, you're probably going to have a tough time connecting to the network at all.
Really?
Until the issue is resolved.
Wow.
You might need to update your device's software.
Okay.
Or contact your network provider to see what's going on.
So maybe it's not as simple as just changing my outfit.
Right. This might require a little more effort.
Okay. What about the other causes?
Okay. So another one is UE identity cannot be derived.
UE identity cannot be derived.
Yeah. That one's a mouthful too.
That one sounds a little ominous.
It sounds a little scary, right?
Yeah.
But basically it means the network is having trouble verifying your device's identity.
So like showing up at a club.
Exactly.
With an ID that the bouncer doesn't recognize.
Yeah, you're not getting in.
Oh, never denied. But why would that happen?
It could be a few things.
Okay.
There might be an issue with your device's credentials.
Okay.
Or maybe there's a mismatch between the information stored on your device and what the network has on file.
So it's like a mix-up at the DMV.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely not ideal.
Not ideal at all.
Is there any way to fix that?
Usually it involves some troubleshooting.
Okay.
Making sure that your device's credentials are correct
mm-hmm.
and that it's properly registered on the network.
Right, because the last thing you want is to be stuck in network limbo.
Yeah. Exactly. You want to be on the right list.
Okay. Speaking of being stuck, there was one last cause that I caught.
Okay.
That really caught my attention. Implicitly deregistered.
Implicitly deregistered.
What does that even mean?
It sounds sneaky, right?
Yeah, it sounds like I've been kicked off the network without even knowing it.
Well, in a way, that's kind of what's happened.
What happened?
So this usually happens when the network loses track of your device.
How does it lose track of my device?
Well, it can happen for a few reasons.
Okay.
One possibility is that a timer related to your registration has expired.
There's a timer involved.
Yeah, think of it like a countdown clock.
Okay.
The network expects your device to check in periodically, like sending a little, hey, I'm still here signal
right.
if your device doesn't check in. Within a certain time frame,
yeah.
the network just assumes you're gone.
Okay.
And it automatically deregisters you.
So I've been ghosted by the network.
Basically, yeah.
Ouch.
It could also happen if the network has lost some important context data about your device.
What do you mean?
Like maybe there was a network hiccup or you moved to a new area served by a different part of the network.
Okay.
And for some reason, things just didn't get updated properly.
So it's like the network saying, hey, we haven't heard from you in a while. We're just going to assume you've moved on to bigger and better things.
You've upgraded.
And they've given my spot to someone else.
Basically.
Wow.
That's cold. But the good news is,
okay.
if this happens,
yeah.
you just need to re-register with the network.
Okay.
Get back online.
Okay.
And it's usually a quick and painless process.
All right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So it sounds like these 5GMM causes, while they might be a little intimidating at first glance,
yeah.
they're actually there to help us.
Exactly. They're there to help you troubleshoot.
Troubleshoot and get back online.
Exactly.
As quickly as possible.
It's like having a network help desk
yeah.
built right in.
Built into the system.
Yeah.
That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
It's reassuring to know that the network's got my back.
Right.
Even when things go wrong.
They're looking out for you.
But, you know, we've been talking a lot about the technical nitty-gritty
right.
of 5G, the protocols, the error handling, the authentication.
Oh, that's all the fun stuff.
But I'm curious.
Yeah.
How do all of these things
mm-hmm.
actually impact me, the user?
That's a great question.
What's the real world significance
mm.
of all these technical details?
Well, while it might seem like we're just digging into the weeds here.
Yeah.
These technical specifications actually have a direct impact on your everyday 5G experience.
Right.
For example, remember those network slices we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
Those aren't just a theoretical concept.
Yeah.
They translate into the ability to have different levels of service
yeah.
that are tailored to your specific needs.
Okay. So I'm starting to see the connection here.
So if I'm a gamer, right?
And I need the fastest possible speeds.
Right.
Lowest latency. Yeah. I could potentially subscribe to a network slice.
Exactly.
That's designed for gaming.
That's the idea.
Okay.
It's all about getting you the best possible experience.
It makes sense.
For what you're doing on the network.
Okay.
And for someone working in a factory, for instance.
Okay.
They might need a dedicated slice
yeah.
for industrial applications right. where reliability and security are absolutely critical.
It's like having a customized network experience.
Right.
That's really cool.
It is.
But it's not all about speed and fancy features, right?
Right.
What about reliability?
Okay.
I'm sure no one wants yeah. their connection dropping in the middle of an important video call.
Oh, no.
Or even worse, like during a heated online gaming session.
Right.
You can't have that.
Definitely not.
No latency.
So
reliability is key.
Okay.
And that's where all those error handling mechanisms,
right.
resource allocation protocols
that we talked about
really come into play.
They're working behind the scenes to make sure your connection stays stable,
mm-hmm.
even when the network is super busy.
Okay. So basically,
mm-hmm.
because of all this stuff that's happening in the background,
yeah,
my video calls are less likely to drop.
Right.
Even if someone else in my house
exactly.
decides to like download a huge file at the same time.
Exactly.
Which is a win in my book.
That's a big win.
It is a big win.
And let's not forget about security.
Right.
With all the sensitive information
yeah.
that we share online these days.
Yeah, it's more important than ever.
Keeping our data safe is more important than ever.
Absolutely. What are some of the ways that these 5G standards address security concerns?
So security is a top priority in the world of 5G.
Good.
And the standards incorporate a whole range of features designed to keep your data safe and sound.
Okay, like what?
Well, it all starts with those robust authentication mechanisms, making sure that only authorized devices can connect to the network in the first place.
Yeah.
And then you've got encryption, which basically scrambles your data while it's being transmitted.
Over the airwaves.
Over the airwaves.
So no one,
making it much harder for anyone with bad intentions to snoop on your information.
So it's like having a bodyguard for my data.
I like that.
Making sure it gets where it needs to go.
Yeah.
Safe and sound.
Exactly. And these security measures are constantly evolving.
Okay.
Always staying one step ahead of any potential threats.
That's reassuring.
Yeah.
This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
But I have to admit, I am a little overwhelmed by all the technical detail.
It's a lot.
A lot.
Even those of us who work with it all the time are constantly learning new things.
Wow.
Yeah. But I think the important thing for the everyday user is knowing that these standards exist to make your 5G experience the best that it can be.
Okay.
Reliable, efficient, and secure.
So it's kind of like knowing that there's this team of brilliant engineers working tirelessly behind the scenes to make sure everything runs smoothly.
That's a great way to put it.
I might not understand all the complexities.
Right.
But I appreciate the end result.
Yeah, you don't have to. You get to enjoy it.
Okay. So
yeah,
we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
From authentication and error handling to resource allocation and security.
That's a lot.
Are there other exciting developments on the horizon for 5G?
That's a great question.
What does the future hold for this technology?
Well, these documents, they actually hint at some really cool advancements that are just starting to emerge.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
So one that I find particularly fascinating is something called proximity-based services.
Proximity-based services.
Or PROS for short.
PROS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to break that one down for me.
Yeah, that one's a mouthful.
I've never even heard of that.
It's pretty cool stuff.
Okay.
Basically, PROS allows devices to communicate directly with each other, even if they don't have network coverage.
Oh, wait.
It's like your phone has its own mini network.
Wow.
Independent of the main cellular network.
So let me see if I understand this correctly.
Okay.
With PROS, my phone could potentially share files or something with another phone that's nearby.
Right.
Even if we're in a dead zone.
Exactly.
With no cell service.
Exactly.
That's wild.
Pretty amazing technology.
Or like, imagine cars on a highway.
Yeah.
Being able to talk to each other directly to avoid collisions or optimize traffic flow.
That's the idea.
The possibilities are pretty much endless.
Possibilities are pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And it's all thanks to these constantly evolving 5G standards.
So 5G is not just connecting us to the internet.
Right.
It's connecting us to each other.
In a whole new way.
In a more direct and immediate way.
Exactly.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's truly groundbreaking technology. And these standards are the foundation upon which all of this is being built.
This whole deep dive has been like taking a crash course.
Right.
And the inner workings of 5G.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
A lot going on under the hood.
There was so much going on behind the scenes.
It's easy to take it for granted when it just works seamlessly in the background.
It really is.
But every text message, every video call, every online game, there's this whole symphony of protocols and processes working tirelessly to make it happen.
And thanks to you, I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation.
Yeah, that makes me happy to hear.
For that symphony.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
It is amazing.
Well,
on
that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into this fascinating world of 5G network protocols.
It's been a journey.
It really has. A huge thank you to you for being our guide.
It's been my pleasure.
On this incredible journey.
I always enjoy it.
And to all our listeners out there, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
On this adventure of discovery, remember, the world of technology never stands still. So keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.
Keep diving deep.